So, how to expand your bus ministry. At this point, we're assuming that you already have a bus ministry going, that you have something that's in progress. So now, how do we take it to the next step? What do we do to expand this to make it as good as it possibly can be, both in volume, in the size, and in making sure that everything's done correctly so you don't run into problems that... Even legal problems. We're going to cover a lot of ground here. How do you protect yourself? How do you protect your church? How do you protect your bus workers while still having an optimal experience for the bus kids? So, now that you have a bus ministry, let's make it the best it can be. First, we're going to talk about growth. How do you grow it? Now, this is not an outreach class. That's going to be in a different one. So, I'm going to be very brief on this growth portion here. But first of all, to make it grow, this is so elementary, but you got to get more kids, obviously. But to do that, you have to have practical expectations, okay? There's some churches that pick up 500 kids. That would destroy us if we picked up 500 kids. Literally, we wouldn't have the places to house them. We wouldn't have to put them. We wouldn't have the teachers to cover it. It would break everything. So we have to have realistic expectations. How many do we realistically want that we can actually take care of effectively? So set a goal and make that your maximum parameters based on your logistics, okay? Based on your classrooms. And if you don't have the 500 that other church has, who cares? This is what we're dealing with, so this is our expectations. Whether that's 10 kids, 20 kids, 50 kids, or maybe it is 500 kids. Maybe you do have the logistics to make that work, but just make it fit you. So to get more kids, there is no alternative to consistent outreach. You just have to do it. If you don't do outreach, you will not get more kids. That is the most basic sentence I could tell you. But if you only hit your regulars, if you only go to the kids that already come, eventually your group is not going to grow. It's going to shrink because kids move, they grow up, and your pool is going to shrink. It is not going to grow. So you got to constantly be pulling new people in to make up for the ones that are not coming any longer. Now, the next thing is making sure that your bus workers and your help is committed to more than just Sunday morning. Sunday morning is the fun one, right? You're on the bus, you pick up kids, you're singing songs, the blast, the trip itself is fun. Saturdays aren't usually as much fun. You can make them fun, but we know, Francis, you're at our church, the pool from Sunday isn't always the pool that shows up on Saturday. And the ones that show up on Saturday are the ones that I can count on. They're the ones that I'm going to get responsibility. They're the ones that I'm going to say, can you take care of this? Because they're faithful. They're committed. If they just show up on Sunday, they're typically the ones that are there for the wrong reasons. Maybe because their friends are there. And we're talking bus workers, not bus kids right now. Okay. So they got to be there and committed for Saturday and Sunday. Now, the second thing to growth is simple as well. But you got to make the ones that come want to keep coming. They got to want to come back. So you can have an incredible outreach, have 30 new kids there. They're on your bus. They come. They have a great trip. And now they never come back because their classes were boring or because it was just a terrible experience. They didn't have fun. So the bus workers, maybe you're like, oh, I wasted all my time. I did this big outreach, and now they don't want to come back. So this is not a Sunday school. This is on the bus right now. I'm going to pretend that you have... You're taking these kids to a class that may not be the best, okay? And I'm assuming that you all have great classes. But just pretend it's not. Assume that they're going to a class that may not be everything it has to be. Make the trip itself so much fun that the kids will come back just for that. If you make that bus ride just like Disneyland on wheels, they are going to come back just for your bus, if nothing else. We've had kids that do that. They wanted to come just because the bus trip was so much fun. So that's the currency of kids. You have to have fun. That's what they understand. That's how you get them there, and that's how you keep them coming back. So here's some ways that we found to have fun on a bus. Number one, and this cannot be overstated, is you must interact with the kids. You cannot be a bus rider. If you're a bus worker, you have to interact with the kids. Every kid that comes on, every bus worker should greet them and make them feel like them coming has made your day. And hopefully you're not being hypocritical. It should be real. You're just so happy that that kid came. Everybody, talk to him. And while the bus is moving, while it's, look around for the kid that maybe is isolated. Maybe the kid that doesn't have a friend with them, that they're chatting it up. Someone that's sitting in the back that's kind of off by themselves. Go find them and sit and talk to them. You don't have to do a puppet show for them. Just talk to them. How'd your week go? How are you doing? What hobbies do you like? Just go through a list. Just start talking. You can have, there's all of these acronyms online. You can look them up. The ways to talk to kids, you know, they have all these, you talk about their hobbies, you talk about their family, you talk about their school. I can't remember what the acronym is. But anyway, just have a list of things that you're going to talk with these kids and make them feel like they really are important to you. Interact with the kids. Be a bus worker, not a bus rider. And ideally, the drivers would be involved in this as well. The drivers shouldn't necessarily just be a function of the bus, like an engine, right? That just is an automaton that just moves the bus around. They should be an active part of the bus if they can. Greet the kids. Have fun with them. There's a guy in the Colorado church, the Pueblo, Colorado. His shtick is he has a different hat every week and he never repeats it. It's insane. A different hat every week. He has squid hats, turkey hats, these like pyramid hats. Every week he's got a different hat. I don't know where he finds them all, but every week he has a different hat. It's unbelievable. So something like that. Decorate the bus for an upcoming holiday or just for fun. Make the bus itself really fun. We do a really, really goofy thing. I don't know how it started. I don't know where it came from. But when you pull up to a railroad track, you know, they have to stop the bus and they have to open the door and listen for. Well, make it fun. So every time we do a loud countdown. 1, 2, 3. And we scream hallelujah as loud as we can. Sometimes we'll sing hallelujah. But whenever we stop at a railroad crossing, whatever's happening on the bus, you stop it. Stop. It's coming. Shh, shh, shh. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. And it's just insane and weird. And the kids that have never been on the bus before are just tripping out. Like, what just happened? But it is so cool. You've got to sing songs on the bus. Now, not everybody is comfortable leading songs, but at least join in. There's nothing worse than someone at the front of the bus. All right, guys, let's sing a song. And you're like, I've been redeemed. And no one echoes.
I've been redeemed. That's so bad.
Are you serious? No, you can't go to heaven. Cricket.
Yeah,
on roller skates. It's an awful feeling. It's like they just... And the kids will sing if the other bus workers sing. Okay? So please, help out the poor guy that's trying to sing. But it is a blast because these kids eventually will learn the songs. They'll know the songs. And they'll... In fact, we have some kids that want to... You know, they'll suggest ideas and they'll even sing them for us. That you can't go to heaven. There's so many verses to that. I mean, there's 100 of them. You know, you can't go to heaven and roller skate. You roll right past the pearly gates and a sailboat. That boat might not float. We came up with what? You can't go to heaven in a shopping cart. Heaven ain't got no Walmart. Taco Shell, Taco Bell. Yeah, it's just insane. I mean, we have probably 50 of them. You can't go to heaven wearing powder and paint. The Lord don't like you like you ain't. You know, just we there's. We have probably how many, 20, 30 of these? There's a guy in the church that drives a Corvette. So we say you can't go to heaven in a red Corvette unless your name is Wayne Arnett. So that's what we say. You can't go to heaven in my, what did he call it, my nasty old van? Because I had this ugly old gold van. Who would want to drive in that tin can? Anyway, you can make that thing last the entire trip. It's really fun. So the goofy, goofy songs, the Who is the King of the Jungle, if you guys have ever heard that. Who is the King of the Jungle? Who is the King of the Sea? Yeah. So it's a cool song to sing on the bus. What's some other ones? It's bubbling in my soul. I'll sing it. I'll shout it. Okay. It doesn't matter what you sing. Sing your song that you sing in Sunday school, as long as you can do them a cappella. We have another one. He's able, but it's the say and repeat ones are the best because anyone can sing it. You're teaching them the words as you do it. We have another thing. Again, I don't know who came up with it, but when we pull in the parking lot, we have this Jesus chant. And we know when we pull up to the corner that's on the edge of the church, as soon as that light turns green, that gives us the perfect amount of time to finish it by the time we pull up to the red carpet. So we'll say, Give me a J. J, you got your J, you got your J. Give me an E. E, you got to go all the way through J. Yes, you asked nothing on your J is for Jesus, E is for eternity, S is for Savior, and rest is for us. And we're just screaming as loud as we can. It doesn't matter what you do, but do something. Make it cool. Make it unique to you. Make it unique to your church. I love that 36 and O is the best place to go. That's cool. That is so cool. And like you said, 4 years later, he still remembered it. Balloons are awesome. Those twisting balloons, they're easy to pick up. If you just learn one at a time, you only have to learn one, something simple, a little turtle or a poodle or a sword, something simple. But if you're doing twisting balloons, you can make a kid do anything for a balloon. It's like the best one is to blackmail them into singing with you. That's what, you know, okay, the loudest singer on this song is going to win a balloon. And they'll make their throats bleed for a balloon. Right, David? Every time Jennifer's like, please. Sing it, don't scream it, because he's really loud. But balloons are really, really awesome. Jokes, you tell them, not the kids. Yes. But jokes are a good way. Trivia from the class on the way back. If you know what the class was about, you can maybe throw out trivia for treats, for candy, or whatever. We have these name tags and wristbands, and they started doing something recently where if the kids made it through the entire day with their wristband and their name tag on and got back on the bus with it all intact, they got a piece of candy. So if they didn't have it, sorry, man. Well, yeah, you know, they're holding it in place. No, it's here.
It was really funny because one actually had it fell off and it got stuck to the bottom of the shoe and he left it there because he wanted it to still be intact on his body.
So as long as it was on him, he had it on the sole of his shoe and it worked. Yes, sir. No, these are labels that we print.
Just stickers?
Stickers. And I'll go into how we do that in a minute, because we try to print them for the ones that regularly come, and then we handwrite new ones. New kids. Some other ideas that I want to implement, we never have, but it is like such a cool idea. This is from the Pueblo Church. They have one called Popcorn Sunday on the bus. Trash bags of popcorn. The rules are, there are no rules. You can do anything with the popcorn except throw it out the window. Anything. You can have fights with it. You can put it in people's hair. You can eat it. I mean, that's an option. They can do anything. It's like, say it's like a blizzard in that bus. And the whole way home, it's just insane. So on the way home, and they said they clean it out with a leaf blower. And just get it out of there. But it sounds amazing. Butter-free, salt-free, the grease would get out of hand. But it's like, we are definitely doing that. It is just like the coolest idea ever. We've not done it, but it's awesome. They have one called Mystery Writer, which is where every week they gave them an idea, a clue to someone that was going to write. Like this person, or this mystery writer has black hair, and they got to guess who it is. And the next week they give them a second clue. This mystery writer has a very loud voice. Well, and they're trying to think of all these people. Like, who is this? Who is it? Then the third week, they'll give them another clue. And then the fourth week, they actually show up. Well, this particular one was a dog, a black dog.
Nice.
Yeah. So just different stuff like that. You know, mystery writers, just to make it special. So the bottom line is, make the trip memorable, even if they have a terrible time at Sunday school. Don't assume they're going to have a terrible time. But if they do, they're going to come back just for the trip because you made it awesome. Make them feel really special. We talked about talking to them. That's the number one thing. But here's some other goofy stuff we've done. We stole this from the San Jose church. They had a red carpet that their bus dumps out on, and that's what we do now. So the buses pull up to the sidewalk, and we have this red carpet leading into the Sunday school, and it's just to make them feel like $1 million. Ideally, in a perfect world, we have greeters lined up on the side giving them high fives and stuff, but it doesn't always work out that way because everybody's all over the place. But we try. We try to get the greeters, but at least the red carpet's there. We have a banner hanging over the gate. They walk in, says, Sunday school, the happiest place this side of heaven. This big dancing man, you know, the crazy ones, you know, the blow-up ones with the air. He's huge. He's 20 feet tall, and he's our main greeter. He's very faithful. He always is enthusiastic. He shows up every week. He's a great guy. And I got him on eBay. Now, don't get excited until you hear the whole thing. He was $35, but that's not the blower. That's just the man. So you got to get a blower too, which is like $120, something like that.
Does he say anything, or
he flaps around a lot and makes noise? No, he doesn't say anything.
No, he doesn't say anything.
We got the cheapo version. There's ones that do that, but it's an additional cost. We just got just a big tall one. Yeah, but they do have them. Absolutely, you can print whatever you want on them. Yeah, but he's very excited. As far as growth, like how do you entice a kid to bring another kid? How do you make them want to bring their friends? They're having a good time, but you want to expand that. So, and it did cost me a bit, but I was the bus captain, and so I said, okay, I'll give $1 to every kid that brings a new kid, like a real dollar, not a Sunday school dollar, which we'll talk about as an option, but a real dollar. And it usually costs between $5 and $10 a week. To me, it was well worth it. Only $5 to get 5 new kids? I'm all for that. That's cheaper than most things we spend it on. And so you hand it out to the kid that brought them, not to the new kid. I know that doesn't sound right, but that's how we did it. And the idea was that kid, oh, you want a dollar too? Bring your friend, man. We'll hook you up. Okay, so if you bring somebody new, you get a dollar. In a perfect world, if I had lots of money, I would give them to both of them, but, you know, funds being what they are. Another option is Sunday school dollars. We have a Sunday school store where they can buy stuff in the store, and that's not necessarily related to bus, but we hand out those dollars on the bus as incentives so they can spend it. And you can also do that, give them out, if they bring somebody new, you can give them some of the Sunday school dollars instead, so it doesn't have to come directly out of your pocket. Growth, how do you make them want to bring their friends? I mentioned follow-up, but follow-up is essential. I don't care if a kid has come for the last year, you still probably want to check on them. Just real quick, even if it's a text, if it's a phone call, if it's knocking on their door, you got to make sure that child is still going to come the next Sunday, because like Brother Hodge said, they vanish without a trace sometimes. They just disappear. So just keep following up on them. And once you visit your regulars, that's when outreach starts. You haven't done outreach yet. You haven't reached out. You've reached in and got your regulars. Now it's time for outreach. Okay, so if you're going to just visit the kids that already come, you still haven't done outreach yet. So pick a new spot after that and do that following up. One thing some of our buses have done in the past is they offer a pizza party, ice cream party, Slurpees, whatever, to the bus once you hit a certain number. So say you're at 24 kids. Guys, if we hit 30 kids in one Sunday, 30 kids on this bus, then we're going to have a pizza party. So if you guys show up with 30 kids, I will run and get pizza, and on the way back, we're going to eat it until it comes out of our ears, okay? And so they're going to bring all their friends, and okay, they're try to get that up over 30 kids. We did a back-to-school day. We only did this once, but it was a cool idea and concept, but we didn't push it quite the right way, but it's a great idea. Back-to-school day, they have these in public schools where the kids invite their parents to come see the school. So that's what we did, back-to-school, back-to-Sunday school day. Well, the parents get to come meet the teachers. They get to see the classes. They get to have a dinner afterward for them. So just a way to get the parents involved so you're reaching to the entire house. The next thing is to transition them from bus kids to church kids. I don't even like the term bus kids. It really bothers me because they're just kids. It's just the bus is just our way of identifying how they're getting to church. But to me, they're just kids. But we segment them sometimes. So how do we get them from a bus kid to a church kid? You got to break that barrier of them thinking this is your guys' church to where it's now. That's my church. That's my church. So if you ask them, hey, where do you go to church? I want them to say, in the Lighthouse. I want them to say Hope Center. I want them to say, what's the name of your church, brother? ALC? I want them to say that, not, well, I go on Sundays to, no, that's your church. They need to identify. So how do we make that transition? We started a deal, and by saying we started this Adopt a Bus Kid program, that's a very formal way to describe what we did. What we did is just say, tell all the bus workers, find a kid that you're drawn to or that you have a good relationship with, and try to make it your job that you're going to pick them up for more than Sunday mornings. But it's not a bus thing. This is an outside of bus. At that point, it's a friend bringing a friend. So if you can, you pick them up in your car, you have your parents help you pick them up, and you bring them to Sunday night church. You bring them to Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, Tuesday night, whatever, whenever you guys have your midweek service. And at that point, they're no longer a bus kid. They're just a friend that you're bringing to church. They sit with you. You talk with them. You take them out after church, wherever you go. If you go into McDonald's, hopefully you take them to McDonald's. whatever you do, they go with you. They go to the altar with you. You pray with them. They are now your responsibility. It's not a bus responsibility any longer. Invite them to every event that you can. If you have Monday night basketball at the church, invite them. Bring them in. Like I said, bring them in a car or have the bus swing around, pick them up. For youth service, for youth prayer meetings, for all youth events, try to invite them. Now, obviously, there's an age thing here. You probably want to bring ones that are more mature, that you don't have to chase around the whole night. Maybe an age thing, especially for youth events. Make sure they fit into that youth group. Take them to Magic Mountain, to Winter Retreat, to Peak, if they can go. We brought a couple of them. Did we take them to Peak, or was it just Winter Retreat? Winter Retreat, okay. And offer to foot the bill if you can afford it. Not, and we're not talking 30 kids. We're talking maybe one or two that really stand out and are really latching on and doing a solid job. Church sponsors is awesome. Absolutely. Have the church take them under their wing and pay for it. When they start getting around your youth, they're going to find out that the church kids are not just dorks wearing suits. To them, that's what they are. They're showing up in these slacks and their white shirts and tie, and they look like dorks to them. And so they don't want anything to do with them until you break that barrier. And now they're having a friendship instead of this off-putting, we sit on this side, you guys sit on this side. I hate that. They should be sitting together. It's just a different way of getting to church. So try to integrate them into the church as much as possible. Now, when a bus kid gets the Holy Ghost, make it a big deal. This is a big, big deal. This isn't just something cool that happened. All right, there's another number to chalk on the board. Go home with them if you can. Try to take that child to their house. Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, anybody that knows him the best, and explain to the family what happened. Hey, your son got the Holy Ghost today. Let me tell you what it is. They're not going to have a clue what the Holy Ghost is, more than likely. Explain it to them. This opens up possibilities for Bible studies. Would you like to find out more about what they're learning about? Can I tell you about the Holy Ghost? Can I, you know, the next step in the Bible is to be baptized in Jesus' name. Would you be okay with him being baptized? Maybe they can come see it. You know, there's all kinds of things that this opens up, but take it to the parents and make it a big deal. Instead of a child going home, having got the Holy Ghost, they're excited, pumped up, they walk in the door. Mom, I got the Holy Ghost. You got what? And it's just this weird conversation that this kid can't really explain what happened. He can know, but maybe he can't verbalize it the way you could. Make it a big deal. Talk to their parents. Make it cool. For a solid bus ministry, you need a team. You can't do it by yourself. As it grows, you're going to find out you simply cannot do it alone. You got to get good help, and you got to get mature help. You got to get faithful help, consistent help, that want to be there for the right reasons. That doesn't mean you necessarily kick out everybody that's not there, that, you know, they want to help on the bus, but they're maybe not there for the right reasons. You don't necessarily get rid of them, but you have to have solid people, people that are going to be doing the things that consistently need to be done. Try to have prayer before outreach. Try to have prayer before you leave. Team unity. Have outings together if you can. Christmas party. We just washed the buses together, and it was a terrible job that was made more fun by a bunch of people being there, spraying each other, being silly. It was a fun deal that could have been just a boring, rough, dumb job, but it was good. Just have outings together to bring that team unity. You need to have a good mix of energy and maturity. What I mean by this is young people are probably the most likely to volunteer typically for the bus ministry. They have that energy, that fire, that zip, but they're also in that weird transition of life where they're getting jobs and they're going to college and all of a sudden they fall off the map and you don't know where they went. They're in this weird, inconsistent part of their life where you sometimes may not be able to rely on them as much as you'd like to. So they're great for their energy, But for their maturity, sometimes it's tough. So you got to get some maturity. We're really trying to work on that in ours. We're trying to get some people that are maybe in a more stable portion of their life where they can be counted on to be everywhere they need to be when they need to be. So a good mix of the two is ideal. And the last part of your team, not the last part, but another very important part is your drivers. You got to have drivers. Depending on what you have, you may have cars, you may have vans, you may have buses. If you do, you need class B. And it's not an easy process, at least where we live. I've been in this process of trying to get the license for, 8 months? It's been ridiculous. So I took all the tests, passed all the written tests, tried to get my driver's test, and they just kept putting me off until I finally got one, went in and failed in the first 3 minutes. It was a brutal deal that I won't go into because it makes me angry to talk about. But I failed it. So that day I went back and I tried to get a follow-up test to get the next available driving test, and they said there are none. I said there has to be eventually. And they said, well, there's none on our schedule. Our schedules are booked all the way out. Call back. So I called back. Still booked. Called back. Still booked. Called back. Still booked. So I'm like, there's got to be a way around this. I went to other DMVs, tried all those, and they said, well, the nearest one was like an hour and a half away, and our poor buses won't even make it an hour and a half away. We're lucky to get them around Rialto. So that was kind of out. So I called back, finally got an appointment for literally the day after my permit expired. So I couldn't do it. So at this point, I'm just kind of like in this funk, just kind of angry. So when I get a chance, I'm going to go back and start the whole process over again. But it's not an easy process. That's why a lot of churches are going to vans. They're going to vans because it's easy. I'm not recommending that necessarily, but it's an option because pretty much anyone can drive a van as long as you're on the insurance. But buses are so much better because you can pick up 72 kids plus whatever else you can cram in. You just want to... I highly recommend buses, but drivers are an issue. If you have the drivers, get buses. If you don't, get what you can get. The next thing is permission slips. Permission slips, okay? You got to have parental approval. We've had it where kids get on and the parents don't even know where they're at. This is a first-time kid. This happened one time. They got on the bus, went to Sunday school, had a great time, and their parents were freaking out for 3 hours while they were on. We didn't know. They just climbed on with a group of kids. And it really woke us up. Now we try to get written permission. In fact, on our flyers, we have two versions of our flyer, and the newer version. Unfortunately, I forgot to put this on there, so I have the old version here. But on the bottom, we have the parental guardian name, phone number, address, apartment number. This is just a quick way. It's on the flyer. If the parent signs it, we kind of tear it off, keep one part, and give them the other one. It's not exactly ideal, but it works. This other one we have is just a color one, and I forgot to put that piece on there, so now we have to have a second written permission slip, which is annoying. So if you can put it on the same one, it'd be better. We don't get a written permission slip every time they come. It's a one-time thing just to let their parents give us their approval for them to come. And maybe this is not the best idea, but we are okay with verbal permission on a one-time basis. If the parent says, yeah, it's okay for him to come, but I don't have time, okay, so we'll do a verbal okay. If it's a choice between a written permission slip and a kid not coming, if the parent is totally okay with it, like they're in the car driving off, yeah, it's totally okay, yeah. So we do make exceptions for that. And baptismal permission slips, if a kid's going to be baptized, don't baptize them without permission. You have to get permission. We did a baptismal Sunday where we had just, six or eight kids baptized that day. And we just made it a big deal where our entire classes went into the main sanctuary and said to their classes and got to see their friends get baptized, the ones that had permission from their parents. Another thing to do for a bus ministry to grow it to the next step is attendance. You have to track the kids. Track the kids. Track it long term, not just 1 week at a time and throw away the attendance slip. Track these forever. We try to keep every single week. I have them in a spreadsheet where I know where every single kid. I can track it back that this kid's been here 52 times. This one's been here 3 times. This one's missed 2 out of the last 3. Something's going on there where it just kind of lets me know what is going on. We try to give rewards at certain services. where the person that has attended the most in the year 2016 will give a prize for that. Maybe the person that's attended the most consecutive times in the last, you know, however many weeks. We had one kid. What was it? How many weeks was that streak? It was insane. 36 weeks consecutive or something? On the bus. That's insane. 36. It was something absurd. It was many. It was over 30. It was crazy. They had never missed a day. And we want to really push that, that you never, ever miss a day. One thing we've done, and this is for our entire Sunday school, but it also applies to our bus, is if they've come four consecutive weeks, then they win a t-shirt. And the t-shirt just says, I am faithful to Sunday school. And if they wear it, they get an extra perk, like they'll get an extra Sunday school dollar for wearing it. So it's kind of cool. It's free advertising for us. They wear it during the week, has our logo and our church name and stuff on it. But we wouldn't be able to track that if we didn't have good attendance. That's the only way we can do it. Also, the attendance, another side benefit that you don't even realize is happening, is you start to know every single kid by name if you're taking attendance. Instead of, hey, how do you say your name again? Which is a really good one if you can't remember their name. Do that. How do you pronounce your name? Bill. Oh, right. Right. I couldn't remember if it was Bile or... Yeah. So that can get a little awkward. So the attendance works really, really well, along with the name tags, which we're going to next. One thing that they do on the I'm getting ahead of myself. If you have more than one vehicle, sometimes it's tough to know for the kids to know which vehicle they get back on to go home. So we started doing colored wristbands, green, red, and orange, so they know which bus they're going on when they leave. And it's easy for us to know, unless they've ripped it off. And if they ripped it off, then they don't get the candy when they get on the bus. So something you can think about. Amazon has them. I think they're like $10 for 500 of them. So not too bad. One thing they did a couple weeks ago is they wrote these compliments on the wristbands ahead of time. So just like, you're cool, you know, best ever, you know, whatever. So all these different compliments on the wristbands. So when they got it, they got it ahead of time. Name tags, they help you know who the kids are, even the brand new kids. We have a greeting table when they walk through the entrance. They meet someone that if they don't already have a name tag that was given them on the bus, they stop, get their info, first name, last name, route number that they came on, which bus they came on, birthday, because we do birthdays, address, of course, but they don't know their address, so that doesn't help. Anyway, just the vital info, then we create a name tag out of it. All right. Wake up teams. If you start growing your bus, you're going to run into an issue where certain stops take too long. If your route gets pretty long, you're going to find out that you are spending 15 minutes at every stop trying to pick up kids, and it's just taking forever. And you're waiting at the door knocking, guys, we've got to go. 5 minutes, 5 minutes. That 5 minutes turns into 10, 15. And eventually you're going to have to leave them, and it just leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So if you can avoid that, the best way is a wake-up team where you have people in cars dropping off a bus worker at each stop. They go around, knock on the doors 10, 15 minutes ahead of the bus and has a group waiting. So when the bus gets there, they climb on the bus and the bus leaves. That's ideal. But again, it takes extra bodies. It's you have to figure it out if you have enough bodies. So sometimes our bus literally leaves the church empty. There's nobody on it but the driver, because they're picking up bus workers with kids. So they'll go to the first stop and pick up a bus worker plus a group of kids. The next stop, they're picking up a bus worker with a group of kids. So it saves time, and they can run a route that used to take us an hour and 20 minutes. They can pick it up in 30 minutes if you run it real quick. You can have the wake-up drivers. What time am I supposed to stop? 11:25 or 20? 25, man. I got 5 minutes. You had me panic. No, I'm kidding. If you can have people that aren't associated with the bus, people in the church, there's this great lady, her name is Sister Cadel in our church. She drops off our wake-up team. That's her job. It's awesome. She doesn't ride the buses. She doesn't teach Sunday school, but she does drop off our wake-up team. She picks them up and drops them off. It's awesome. It's a key deal that's very little responsibility, little prep, but she's there every week. If your wake-up team goes to a door and they don't get an answer. You guys have been there. You knock on the door for 3 minutes and they swore they were coming. This is what we are supposed to leave on the door to let them know we tried. We tried to knock on your door. Okay? And I got enough of these if anybody wants a couple. So these door hangers, they let the parent know that we didn't forget about you. And you can say all you want, no, really, we did come by, and they're not going to believe you. But if they have a bus hanging on their doorknob, they know you were there. So that's just a really cool way to show them. Now, one thing we've been doing, which is really, really, really super cool, we talked about transitioning them from bus kids to church kids. This is a great way to do it. Bus worker assistants. We have three of them now. And these are bus kids that live in a neighborhood that are really, they're maturing faster spiritually. They may not even have the Holy Ghost, but they're really solid kids that come every week. We make them a bus worker assistant. So they got a shirt. They look right, bus worker assistant. And their job is to wake up first in their neighborhood and wake up all their friends and have them doing it. So now we don't have to send a wake-up driver there because now they're ready for us. You got to contact them by text or phone to make sure they're doing it, because we have a couple that do an incredible job and a couple that if we don't remind them, they're going to forget and sleep in. So it's a good idea to save workers, and it makes them feel like $1 million. The first time we handed out one of those, we almost caused a riot because everybody wanted one. Why can't I be an assistant? I said, because they're really coming along. You know, remember last week and I had to get on to you for cussing? Yeah. We can't have it, but you know, you're wearing our shirt. You're part of our church. You gotta, you know. So it's a good way to push them. T-shirts, uniforms for the bus workers, so everybody looks the same. Not essential, but cool. Ours are nasty and ugly. They're bright orange, and they have our logo on them. But if you see a bright orange shirt, you know who we are. Either convict or you're from our bus. We actually had someone, they saw our bus driving by week after week after week, and I knocked on the door, and they said, yeah, you guys are the prison bus. And I said, the what? This is the prison bus. You guys always drive by with these orange shirts. That's what it is, right? I'm like, oh, man. Okay, this isn't working. Yeah, we got to change something. Anyway, but they're cool, but not essential. Safety, 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 safety. We're not going to be able to do this justice, but you got to be super careful. We've got 2 minutes. When a kid has to cross the street, I cannot, this will shut your bus down instantly. You'll be done if you aren't crossing the street with them. We try to have, and it doesn't always happen, and it drives me nuts when it doesn't, but bus workers should be the first person off of that bus, not one kid out of that bus until a bus worker's out. At that point, ideally, one in front, one in back, bus workers, because they do an end run. You can be watching the front, making sure no cars are coming. Okay, guys, all right, let's cross. Well, in the back, three have already ran across the street around the back of the bus. You didn't even see them. So two bus workers front and back just to make sure the kids are on the sidewalk and safe. You go out and you're in the middle of the street, stopping traffic both ways, making sure they're safe, cross them across. You got to be careful. Standing up while the bus is moving, kids are kids. They're going to be moving around. But if you can keep them from doing backflips in the bus, it's ideal. If they get hurt, it's your fault. Hands and arms inside the bus, that's a common sense, but it's not. Their heads are sticking out while tree branches are flying by. You know, keep them inside the bus. Be super careful hugging and holding the kids. Super careful. Super careful. High five is the best greeting in the world. High five. Everybody understands it. The handshake, they may look at your hand like, "What? I don't know what to do with that." Fist bumps or high five. That's the best way. You know, if a kid comes up and hug you, you don't stiff arm them. But kind of, you know, a side hug. Hey, how are you? You know, just be careful. Be careful. It's a crazy world out there. They're nuts. Speaking of crazy world, it's 11:25. I have probably 30 seconds. We had an incident last week where a kid broke his thumb on our property playing football. We didn't know what to do. Panic. He got hurt. His thumb, we didn't know if it was broke or sprained, but we had to do something. We had a nurse look at it. She said, he's got to go to ER. Panic. I mean, like, this has never happened. I don't know what to do. This is not good. We're trying to call his parents. No one's answering the phone. Finally get a hold of his aunt. We drop him, take him to his house. I'm like, dude, this is so, I know there's stuff I'm supposed to be doing right now, but I haven't done it. What am I supposed to be doing? Get him, talk to his mom. What do we, we'll take you to ER. So we were trying to really baby the situation, but I knew there's stuff I'm not doing. I know there's stuff. Well, there's incident reports you're supposed to fill out the second it happens, and you're supposed to have it signed by the parent and by yourself and by a witness of the accident. That way, the story doesn't change later. We got very lucky. The parent loves us. The kid loves us. He came back. Everything's cool. He's got a cast, but everything's cool. They love us. I went back the next or 2 days later and got that incident report signed immediately so we could have it on file. But you talk about just the things that run through your head at moments like that. It's freaky. Okay, it's 11:26. We're done. Just be careful. Have a good time. Grow your Bible ministry. If you have a question, we'll answer it kind of after. But it is time for the next sessions.